the middle class that inhabited suburban sprawl is getting too bankrupt to live that way. So, you know, that part of the economy is now falling away. And, you know, I have a certain vision of where this economy is heading, and it's pretty stark. I've outlined it in so far in two novels that I wrote about the post-petroleum American future.
Mm-hmm.
The first was called World Made by Hand. The second was called The Witch of Hebron. And I've just finished the third one, which is called A History of the Future, and that'll be published by the Atlantic Monthly Press in September of this year.
Oh, wow.
So,
I was going to ask you about
I think we're heading back to a situation where we're going to be living in a much smaller, more localized, downscaled economy. I think that agriculture is going to come closer to the center of our economy in a way that we haven't experienced for generations. And it remains to be seen how this transition is going to occur. It's liable to be pretty disorderly and rather destructive, at least destructive to, you know, to households, to the institutions that of daily life that we are familiar with, and to a lot of our familiar habits of living.
Well, some folks say you're kind of optimistic because we come through it in a way.
Yeah, it's true. In the books, you know, the books, the people have made that transition, and they're living in a new way. So, you know, I wouldn't call myself a doomer. I just believe that, you know, we have a certain destination. We don't particularly want to pay attention to what it is or how we're going to get there.
Well, I guess one way or another, we're going to need more people on the land. You know, right now, it's what one farmer feeds 100 people, which will not be the case in the future. So there's different ways of putting people on the land, everything from permaculture to prison farms, you know.
Well, there are very many ways. And, you know, I think what you're saying can be translated into industrial agriculture is going to get into trouble along with all of our other industrial activities. So that's just one example of you know, a system that we depend on for everyday life, and it's going to get into trouble. We're going to have to make agriculture smaller, finer, more local. We have no idea how we're going to reorganize the landscape to accomplish that, and that will probably be a huge political problem because obviously it involves property and property rights. And, you know, I don't consider myself a leftist or a socialist or a communist, but I would say that we're probably heading for a lot of conflict and trouble in settling all that out.
Well, here in Oregon, there's an environmental lawyer who did a lot of work for the state, and she gave a speech one time not too long ago and said the thing that kept her awake at night is how will Oregon handle all these people coming up here from Arizona and Nevada?
Well, a lot of people have that kind of nightmare fantasy. And, yeah, I think that it shows something about what's going on in the darker, semi-conscious areas of the collective brain out there.
Well, I think you'd have to just give people land and help them grow stuff on it and just kind of be like a crash course.
Well, it's easy for you to say just give people land, you know.
Well,
when you're taking land away from one guy and giving it to somebody else, you've got a conflict.
Well, some of that land is abandoned anyway, but right now I think we're going to go back out to our membership desk for a few minutes, and then we will go back to our final segment in this show.
Okay. Wake up, people. It's time to call KBOO 877-500-5266 and make your contribution for this membership drive. For $75, a $75 contribution. What is that, Conch? What is that per month?
That comes out to about $6.25 per
Excellent.
Month.
Excellent. He
pretty
does
easy.
Math. He does math. You can get Too Much Magic, Wishful Thinking, Technology, and the Fate of the Nation by James Howard Kunstler. It is an excellent book, and, you know, I say plant your front yard. That's part of it. There's a lot of talk now about how things will be changing. One thing that we want to stay on the air and stay, not always be changing with the times, but be something that you can count on to be here is KBOO Portland. And if you call 877-500-5266, right now, and make your contribution. It'll be great. Teresa Mitchell just came in, and she's wants walk-ins can have a radiation check. If you come in, walk into KBO, come down to 820 Southeast 8th. this morning. You know, it's cold out there, but she will, if you walk in, she will give you a radiation check on the house, baby. But come on down and make your contribution that way. Get a radiation check, make your contribution. How fun is that?
And Teresa looks like she just came down off the Russian steps. She looks like an extra out of Dr. Zhivago.
Sure.
So here, yes, and we have people like Teresa Mitchell and Per Fogring who do hours and hours of research for each of their shows, but they also contribute. They also contribute about an hour of their wage per month, which is a great way to be a KBOO member. And when we, you know, you rely on KBOO to be here because we rely on you. We rely on you to go online at kboo.fm, click on the Donate Now jar in the upper right-hand corner and go through the steps there, or call toll-free, and that number is 877-500-KBOO. That's 877-500-5266. Again, yes, become a member at $75 a year. That's only $6.25 per month, and you can get a copy of Too Much Magic, Wishful Thinking, Technology, and the Fate of the Nation by James Howard Kunstler. It builds on Kunstler's critically acclaimed New York Times bestseller, shows that in a post-financial crisis world, his shocking vision of a post-oil future is more relevant than ever. So that can be yours, along with all the benefits of being a KBOO member and just being happy that you are contributing to the news and public affairs and music and general culture of this region. 877-500-KBOO. That's 877-500-5266.
You know, our public affairs shows absolutely cut through the things. We have often reported on things years before I've heard them anywhere else. Someone will say to me, have you heard about blah, blah, blah? And I say, oh, yeah, well, on KBOO we reported that a couple years ago. So it's a great thing to tune into. 877-500-5266 keeps these news and public affairs shows running, keeps us coming, keeps us fueled. Your contributions just keep the radio station running, and they also fuel us, the people that that are volunteers, who we are the volunteers who make these things happen, and it fuels us. It makes us feel appreciated when you do give us your contributions in a monetary way to keep us on the air, because the electricity company, they are just not much for donations. 48% of what we
take. Yeah, they won't take a thank you gift from us.
They won't take a thank you gift from us at all. No in-kind trades with them. 48% goes for broadcasting. That is for staff and that pesky transmitter that we have to do and other maintenance issues. And 27% is administrative. And 25% goes for fundraising, you know, things like paper, postage. The post office won't give us in-kind trade either. Other supplies, neither do any of the other places that take things from one place to another. We have to have some money, and your contributions are our main source for that, and we like it that way. So give us a call, 877-500-5266. Put a 1 in front of that if you're on a landline, or kboo.fm if you're sitting at your computer at work. It's easy to do. No one will know you did it. It's fun.
We're off to a really rollicking start this morning, and this is going to be a quick pledge drive. The membership drive for winter is going to be a brief one, but it can be briefer when you call in today, because this is the opening day, and we're hoping to get through it on time and on target, and just keep this amazing work going, keep these guests coming in, keep the music flowing, keep all of the equipment up and running, and you can do it by calling toll-free 877-500-KBOO. That's 877-500-5266. Call now. We look forward to hearing from you. The folks here will give you all the options that you need, from having a monthly deduction from checking to a credit card to just walking in. And you can walk in again at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, get a radiation check from Teresa Mitchell, and have a cup of coffee. So come in now, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, or call 877-500-KBOO. Let's talk with Per a bit more.
Okay, we're back with James Kunstler, author of Too Much Magic. In your book, you have a nice little section on the gang down at Google. Why don't you tell us about that?
I was out on the lecture circuit, and they invited me to come down and talk to them about energy, about the subject of the lung emergency, actually. And, you know, so I went down to their fancy headquarters in Mountain View and, you know, very, very fancy, kind of tricked out like a kindergarten, you know, with a lot of playthings in the hallways and the common rooms and, you know, video games and knock hockey and ping pong and Lucite boxes full of gummy bears and stuff. And when the people came into, when the Google employees, who were mostly senior employees, came into the auditorium, you know, a lot of them were dressed like skateboard rats, you know, wearing sideways hats and, mm-hmm. you know, pants hanging down, you know, low in their butt. And, you know, they just had this kind of infantile look about them. And so I gave my talk, and then we had questions. And after the during the questions, a number of these senior engineer types got up, and they didn't ask any questions. They just made the statement, basically, they said, like, dude, we've got technology, meaning, you know, you're a jerk. You don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
And that clued me into a couple of things. One was that people at the highest level of American corporate technological life don't know the difference between energy and technology. You know, they don't know that you can't, if you run out of one, you can't plug in the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shocking and dismaying to discover that these, you know, science nerds didn't know that. But the other part of it that was weird was just to see the infantilization of American corporate life. And, you know, it really kind of makes you wonder.
Well, getting on to the reality right now in San Francisco, these high salaries these folks get have driven up the rents in San Francisco. I thought they were high when I left about 20 years ago. The rents in San Francisco are astronomical, and now the whole city is being gentrified. People who work in the city can't afford to live in the city. A lot of these Google people, they don't really want to live in Silicon Valley. They like San Francisco. So Google has all these buses. Well, the buses clog up the streets, and they park in the muni parking areas. And the people in San Francisco are really resenting all this. And I think some of these Google buses have actually been stoned and. Google people are being yelled at, and strange to say, they just can't understand what this is all about.
I don't think that I'm not even sure that your understanding of it is very clear.
Yeah, okay.
Because, you know, on the other hand, you could say, well, what are you against people being in buses rather than having them all be in cars?
Or, well, that's what the Google people
you
say.
You could use that article, you could mm-hmm. use that argument for saying that, you know, we shouldn't have buses. So. I don't think that's what's going on. I think what's going on is just the general resentment against the enormous sums of money that are being generated in that particular industry while everybody else is floundering.
Well, what people resent is that the Google buses fill up the muni spaces, so people are waiting for their regular bus and have to wait a little bit longer because the Google buses are hogging the parking areas. But
it would raise the question, why are private buses being allowed to occupy municipal spaces?
Exactly. That's what people are asking. Well, we are at the end of our show. James Howard Kunstler, author of Too Much Magic. Hey, I really want to thank you very much for being with us. And I'd like to talk when your novel comes out. I think it would really be great to talk about that. I'm looking forward to it.
You know where I am, and good luck with your pledge drive. We're having one here, too, in Albany, New York.
Oh, great. Okay, let's all stick together. Give money, folks. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
It's pledge drive all over, especially here at the Mighty Boo, KBOO Portland. Coming up in 15 minutes at 10:15, Flashpoint celebrates the life and times of the great songwriter, folk singer, and radical political activist Pete Seeger, who died last week at 94. At 11 o'clock today on Between the Covers, the guest is Rabi Alameddine, who talks about his new novel, An Unnecessary Woman. And at 11:30 today, it's Black Book Talk with Patricia Welch, O.B. Hill, and Emma Jackson Ford. That's all coming up this morning, but first, it's Air Cascadia with Chris Andre. That is coming up next on KBOO. It is our winter pledge drive. Thank you for listening, and go to your phone, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm and click on Donate today.
To celebrate Valentine's Day and Oregon's birthday, KBOO Community Radio will host a special day of news and public affairs programming. For Love of a Better World will be a 12-hour special focusing on the transformational place we find ourselves, solutions to get out of the muck, and the groups and individuals who are fighting the good fight. For Love of a Better World, KBOO's News and Public Affairs 12-hour special, February 14th, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, February 6, 2014, the first day of our winter membership drive. Of course, you are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. We are going to be speaking shortly with Josh Laughlin with Cascadia Wildlands about the recent triumph on the question of logging the Elliott State Forest. And we're also going to be speaking with Walter Tamasitis. Recently in High Country News, there was a featured article on the history of whistleblowers at Hanford. It goes back many, many years, and longer than you or I actually knew. Yesterday we spoke of 60 years. It's actually could be tracked all the way back to the very get-go. First, some headlines. 60 years of secrets and lies at Hanford had not been enough to silence the contaminated site's whistleblowers. Today, we're going to take a look at the timeline, starting back as far as 1943, when the War Department first broke the ground for building the site. General Leslie Groves, who oversaw the massive project, said chances would have to be taken that in more normal times would be considered, and this is the key phrase, reckless to the extreme. That's the key phrase there, reckless to the extreme. That phrase is echoed down through seven decades. And that's why we're speaking, starting off with Walter Tamasitis. We're going to be doing a whole series on this. There is just no better example of collusion between the government and the private sector. Four recent derailments and explosions of crude oil trains in other parts of North America have raised alarm in city halls and state capitals here in the Northwest. But state and local officials soon discover their hands are largely tied, because guess what? The feds have sole jurisdiction in this arena. So we can go out and we can go down to Salem, we can go up to Olympia, we can protest in the halls of state legislatures. But you know what? When it push comes to shove, it's the feds that make a decision on these trains. So, and search engine giant Google is going to give Europeans a taste of its own medicine, which is okay if they don't mind the American way. Choices winnowed and filtered in a manner that makes it look as if the machine knows what we want before we want it. Alas, it's more like the big machine decides what we want before we want it. And a Seattle company is being given the green light to develop plans to build the West Coast's first offshore wind energy farm. This one's going to, unlike the ones on the East Coast, and you've probably all seen the pictures, this is going to be a floating contraption, turbines off Oregon's Coos Bay. Wow, they've really got it in for Coos Bay, don't they? If it's not the Jordan Cove liquefied natural gas terminal, it's going to be floating. Let's hope they stay floating too, offshore wind turbines. And the very notion of anti-LGBT sentiment at the Olympics is so preposterous, defies analysis. There are stories on that. I don't know if we have time for it. There are other headlines too, but we have Josh Laughlin on the line with Cascadia Wildlands to talk about the recent triumph regarding logging in the Elliott State Forest. Good morning, Josh. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, Elliott State Forest, this has been a contentious issue. It's to anyone who knows anything about forests, not forestry, but forests, knows what a fragile habitat it is, and also anyone knows anything about